Our Heavenly Father, the Great, the Almighty, Perfect, Righteous, and Holy God, we come to you thankful that you have created us, you have watched over us, you have helped us and taught us, in spite of our having gone astray, seeking our own desires, our own will. We pray that as you have shown your grace with us, and as we have benefited from what you've done on our behalf at the cross, that you will now help us to grow deeper in response to you. Teach us how to live a life that's fully pleasing to you, that we will develop true quality in our being, such that we will be able to develop deep fellowship with you and contribute in the working out of your purposes. We look to you that the Spirit of God will be with us to guide us and to speak to us. For this we pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the series on true worth, we are considering the subject, what am I worth? And today we go on to the fourth message. We have sought to consider the cost of true worth in the context of our appreciation of the example of two disciples of the Lord Jesus, as recorded in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. When the disciples asked that they might sit on the right and on the left of the Lord Jesus in his glory, he told them, "You do not know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" In the last message, we sought to appreciate some aspects of the meaning of the cup and of the baptism. Today, we go on to consider further the cup and the baptism, and in particular, its relevance to us. We have seen that the cup and the baptism refer to primarily the event of the cross, and what the Lord Jesus went through in his pain and suffering for the sake of sinful mankind. Let us appreciate that the most intense suffering of the Lord Jesus occurred in the moral and spiritual realm in his heart, and not in his body, although the suffering in his body was very intense and severe. It is very easy for us to be preoccupied with the physical sufferings as portrayed by the event of the cross in the physical plane. It is true, he went through very intense suffering in the physical plane prior to the crucifixion, as well as in the process of crucifixion. However, we need to see beyond this, that the most intense suffering that he went through was in the moral and spiritual realm in his heart. The scriptures show to us that the intense suffering began during his time of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane and reached its climax at the ninth hour, when he uttered a loud cry of deep distress. Soon after that, physical death took place. from what I can see in the scriptures, this process may correspond with drinking the cup leading towards going through the baptism. Let's look at Matthew 26, verses 36 and 37. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. During this time, when he began to pray in a garden in Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus began to be grieved and distressed. And it's in the context of this prayer that we have recorded the Lord Jesus in deep agony. Luke 22, verses 39 to 44. And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. It's a picture of intense agony that the Lord Jesus went through. During this time of prayer, he said to God the Father, "If you are willing, remove this cup from me." So we see that the cup referred to what he was going through and what he will continue to go through in the event of the cross. The Lord Jesus at this point of time had indicated very clearly his full commitment to go through the cross. He said, "Not my will, but yours be done." He was prepared to suffer on behalf of sinful mankind, to absorb the punishment due to us. And the most difficult aspect of that suffering was in his relationship with the Father. This agony described began intensely during this time, and it is very likely that he was growing in his identification with the sins of mankind. As he partook of the cup, his suffering grew in intensity, and this reached its climax at the ninth hour, which we can read in Mark chapter 15, verses 33 and 34. When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This was a deep cry of distress as he identified with the sins of mankind, and this would likely correspond with the baptism of death as he entered into the climax of his suffering on the cross. It was soon after he uttered this cry that the Lord Jesus died physically. Luke 23, verses 44 to 46. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. It was a process of suffering that the Lord Jesus went through, and this could very well correspond with drinking the cup in the suffering leading towards the climax of pain and anguish and agony in the baptism of death. In the moral and spiritual realm, the Lord Jesus, before his incarnation, had always been in deep and perfect fellowship with God the Father. However, at this point of time, because of his identification with the sins of mankind, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God, in his wrath and anger against sin, had to manifest that judgment on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he suffered that separation from God on our behalf. This is an issue that is not easy for us to appreciate. But the more we grow to know the Lord Jesus, the more we appreciate his life and being, the more we will understand the meaning of this suffering. If we want to develop true worth in our being, we need to learn to drink the cup and to be baptized with the baptism with which he was baptized. The most difficult aspect of the Lord Jesus' suffering was not in the physical realm. Likewise, the most difficult aspect of following the Lord fully and being close to him is not in the physical and temporal realm, but in the moral and spiritual realm of the heart. We must learn to understand what went on within him, what it means, what it cost him as he went through the process of drinking the cup and being baptized with that baptism. If this aspect in us is not deeply developed, our worth will always remain superficial. No matter what we may have done for the Lord or suffered for him in the physical and temporal realm. Throughout our lives, we need to learn to continue to deepen our understanding of this and to grow in our identification with him if we are to develop true quality in our being. It's good for us to appreciate that the baptism and the cup have two elements that are important for our recognition and application. The baptism, at the point of time when the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples, was in the future as well as in the present. Both aspects are important for us to appreciate. When the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 50, "I have a baptism to undergo," he was referring to the baptism in the future. This was a reference to his death on the cross. I have a baptism to undergo. It would be a baptism of great distress. Similarly, this would apply to the cup. The cup was in the future when he referred to the event of the cross. So when the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples, there was this aspect of the future element of the event of the cross. But the Lord Jesus also referred to it in the present. He said to his disciples, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" This tells us that there was a present element with regard to the cup and the baptism. Although it referred to the event of the cross in the future, it was in reality already in operation at that point of time. Both the cup and the baptism were in reality present in the life of the Lord Jesus throughout his life. When he came into this world to identify with mankind, to become the Savior of the world, the principle of the cup and the baptism was already present in him. That is why Isaiah 53 describes him as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It was not just at the event of the cross that there was deep grief in his heart. Throughout his life, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He came for this purpose. He had already undertaken to identify with the sins of mankind. And throughout his life, there was deep pain and anguish in this whole process of caring for us, loving us, seeking to help us, and giving up his life for us. Yes, it culminated at the cross, but throughout his life, this principle of the cup and the baptism was always in operation. So too for us, we must learn to live with such a spirit throughout our lives, and at the same time be prepared for specific occasions of intense difficulty and suffering for the sake of the will of God, for the sake of the well-being of others, and for what is truly good and meaningful for eternity. It is not enough for us just to prepare for difficult times ahead. We must be prepared to live like that each moment of our lives, drinking the cup, being baptized with the baptism with which he was baptized. It is a life as a living sacrifice to God, a life offered up to God for what is good and meaningful throughout our lives. Yes, there will be times when the suffering will become more intense and difficult. But it is this whole way of living that must characterize our lives if we are to develop true worth in our being. If indeed we follow him fully in the path of self-giving, we will be close to him in glory. That is the only way for us to be truly close to him in glory. In moral and spiritual meaning and reality, there are different degrees of closeness to the Lord. And how close we are to Him will directly depend on the quality of our identification with Him in drinking the cup and going through the baptism. Therefore, it is vitally important that we prayerfully seek to understand the cost of true worth and knowingly, voluntarily, and gladly choose the path of following Him all the way. Wherever this would lead us, and persevere in it all our lives. It is in this path that true worth will be produced in our being, and we will draw closer and closer to the Lord in His heart.